On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Good afternoon, Namibia. It's Monday, the 16th of June, 2025. And just like that, a new week is upon us. Now, the weekend might be over, but the energy of a fresh week is just beginning. Offices are open, exam halls are buzzing, and across the country, we are all shifting gears back into our regular routines. Now, whether you're retaining to your desk, pardon me, and back behind the wheel, or simply catching up on what you missed, today is all about resetting, refocusing, and stepping into the new week with intention. And as always, On the Radar is right here with you, your trusted for real-time stories, your trusted companion. Now, throughout thoughtful insights and everything in between, of course, I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and I'm joined by...
Sean Jordan Gusev.
And we've got you covered with the latest from across Namibia and beyond, from social shifts to economic movements, community voices to continental headlines. We're live every weekday from 1300 hours to 1430 right here on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. So make sure that you do always tune in. And hey, this show isn't just about a bulletin. It's a conversation. So if you've got thoughts, questions, or even contributions, do share. Call us in studio on 083-288-401. And now for the news. Namibia's recent classification by the European Union as a high-risk jurisdiction for money laundering and terrorism financing has sparked growing concern among economic analysts and civil society actors. The designation poses a serious challenge to the country's investment climate, as it may lead to stricter scrutiny of financial transactions, delayed foreign direct investments, and limited access to global banking systems. Experts warn that this could discourage international investors and make it more difficult for local businesses to expand beyond borders, especially in sectors such as mining, energy, and logistics, where international credibility is key. In response to long-standing concerns raised by the Financial Action Task Force, also known as FATF, the Bank of Namibia has been working to strengthen financial regulations and improve compliance across the sector. These efforts include tightening anti-money laundering frameworks, enhancing the role of financial intelligence units, and increasing oversight of banks and non-banking institutes. However, analysts and activists remain divided on whether these improvements are enough to restore international trust. They call for more transparency, stronger enforcement of policies, and a whole-of-society approach to ensure long-term reform. Earlier today, I spoke to Dr. Omuka Kwamata, who is an economist, to engage his view on the pressing matter. Let's take a listen to that conversation. Good afternoon, Dr. Omuka Kwamata, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Yes, good afternoon, Happy, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Now, Namibia has been ranked by the European Union's Commission as a high-risk country for anti-money laundering and terrorism financing. What could this mean for investments, Dr. Omu, for Namibia's investments?
Definitely, it doesn't work very well for investment, because Namibia, if it remains on that grey list, most of the investors will shy away from investing in Namibia, as they are or will be afraid to be sanctioned by bigger economies like the United States, Europe itself, and the like. So really, despite all the efforts now being done by Namibia to go off the grey list, it's a little bit unfair, but as you have correctly pointed out, it could affect investment inflows.
Now, Namibia's financial system
has been complained to be weak by the FATF as well, and just not so long ago this year. Do you think there are some improvements by the Bank of Namibia and other sectors?
I'm not very sure, but what we hear from the FIC, that is the Financial Intelligence Center, is that out of the 13 that were basically flagged by FATF, is that they have only 5 to go. So out of the 13, they have already addressed 8. And they are working very hard, and also with some technical partners or technical advice from external technical advice to do the right thing. So hopefully, as FIC promised, by let's say February next year or so, we'll be off the grey list, and that'll be great news.
Yeah. Now, apart from banking institutions, Dr. Omu, what can an ordinary Namibian do to assist Namibia to reach international trust again?
No, not much. Maybe you and me, if we know that there is some underworld activities taking place, that is illegal activities in terms of trying to launder money, that is money laundering or so, we can, of course, send a word to FIC, that is the Financial Intelligence Center, to say that, look, I suspect something here. So FIC, what they could have, if they don't have, is maybe an anonymous tip of line where ordinary Namibians can assist in detecting things like money laundering and other illegal activities.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Omu, things such as cabinet ministers lose hundreds or have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars from their savings all through a telephonic scammer. What does this say about Namibia? A former finance minister who has been dealing with the highest accounting office in the country could lose money in such a manner. What does this mean for Namibia?
Yes, scammers are sweet talkers. That is really not because of the weakness of the financial system. It is just, not ignorance, but I should say yes, ignorance of the particular individuals who were scammed. But because it was not like a very highly sophisticated, hacking of the system. It was basically scammers, and the scammers, the financial institutions themselves, warn even on their website, when you get into your app or so, they tell you, please don't talk to strangers. Something that your grandmom told you long time, and because scammers, once you start talking, they have you. And I'm not saying those individuals were foolish or stupid, but scammers can talk you into some stuff. So don't talk to strangers. And the bottom line is that it is not the system weakness or the financial system weaknesses, but it was just basically those individuals. And the good thing is that most of those guys, I think three or so, who scammed those high-profile individuals, they were arrested and brought to book, before the courts. So I think that shows that Namibia can detect some of those things, your scammers, but we haven't had serious. Even though you'll hear now and then of the high cyber attack risks that Namibia is because of our skills in the financial sector, etc. But we haven't had serious high level, if I may call it that way, cyber attacks on our financial system.
Do you think that we are doing enough in terms of financial literacy education so that the people are well aware, and perhaps with this we can also educate the masses and at the end of the day reduce the frauds and the scams that are going on.
I think so. I think the financial institutions, those are the banks, have and it's still doing enough. The problem is that, as I have just said, it's the problem of the individuals to talk to strangers that can really cause those problems. But I have seen every time you open your app or you get into the bank or ATMs, you are warned of that if you are not careful, you'll be scammed. So I think, yes, I would say to a certain extent, the financial institutions or the banks are doing enough.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Omu, what's your final advice in terms of this conversation that in regards to Namibia's status?
Look, because you are dealing with powerful nations like your EU, the Americans and the like, smaller nations are being bullied. Now, what Namibia could try and do is just to try and comply with those requirements, because you are a small nation, you don't have a bigger voice. It's just to try and see how we can get off the grey list. And Namibia should work very hard to get off the grey list.
Dr. Omu, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Radio News Bulletin and always educating us on economical stuff.
Thank you, Happy, and have a lovely day. Bye.
Okay, bye, Sam.
And there we had it from economist Dr. Omu Kakuyamata. For now, we take a trip to the marketplace. We have a lot more news coming your way. We're just getting started. Stay with us right here on the Radar News Bulletin.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is EagleFM Namibia.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the EagleFM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipura nengeno wapombwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pombwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Nuneudo, o tukwetira o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi kayo loka opone ujendi penawa nukumona oija mwiri nawa ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people?
Welcome back. Now, Women in Mining Association of Namibia has officially launched a groundbreaking mentorship and coaching program, the first of its kind in Namibia and across Africa. The initiative is designed to provide structured support for women in the mining sector, including young graduates, experienced professionals, and aspiring entrepreneurs, both locally and in the diaspora. Speaking at the launch in Windhoek, Executive Director of the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy, Ben Nangombe, emphasized that this platform is a bold and strategic move to tackle persistent gender disparities in mining. While women have the talent and drive to thrive in the industry, limited access to leadership opportunities and systemic barriers have hindered their growth for far too long. The platform offers more than just mentorship. Pardon me. It aims to accelerate career advancement, boost entrepreneurial participation, and create inclusive industry networks, as well as responding directly to the needs for increased representation in boardrooms and better integration of women into the mining supply chain, reinforcing Namibia's broader goal of inclusive economic development. Once again, speaking at the event, Nangombe reiterated that empowering women in mining is not only a matter of justice, but also a smart economic imperative. With the mentorship program officially underway, the ministry is calling on all mining companies to enroll their female employees and actively support this transformative initiative. Let's take a listen.
This is a sector where gender disparities remain most pronounced, and that is a fact that we must contend with. Women are still underrepresented in the workforce, in the mining sector, particularly in the technical and leadership positions. And we must say this is not necessarily due to a lack of talent or ambition or ability, but rather constrained access, constrained opportunities, and what can be referred to as a persistent weight of outdated norms and traditions. We know that many Namibian women have got the qualifications. They've got the drive and they've got the leadership potential to thrive in the mining industry. Meshiwega spoke about what has happened at government level and that drive within the government to bring about gender equality remains fundamental across all pillars of the public sector. So what we need to do is to encourage more intentional efforts to recruit, to empower, and to fairly compensate women across all sectors. This must indeed ring true in all industries. And we are not only talking about inclusion, stricto sensu, in the strict sense. We believe that the inclusion that we are talking about, of including women, providing for inclusion of women in the mining sector, it must ring deeper, so that women are able to ascend leadership ladder and take up those roles, so that they are able to shape the industry, so that they are able to shape the decisions that are being taken in terms of leading and strategizing for the industry overall. We know that at present, the proportion of women in the boardrooms in the mining sector remains on the lower side. Similarly, fewer women are active in the mining supply chain. We are talking about the beneficiation of the resources locally. Where are the women in that process? Are we making opportunities available for them to effectively participate? Are we dealing with the systemic barriers, such as limited access to funding, for example, for their participation in the procurement value chains? These barriers need to be dealt with, and the status quo in the society must change. Women are the nurturers of our families. And if you don't provide them with the opportunities and the resources to be able to do that, that will have a direct negative impact on our families, on our communities, and on our country in general. So when we look at every stage of the mining process, whether it is from exploration to distribution, there are opportunities for greater inclusion. And if we are able to harness those opportunities, we will enable Namibia to strategically strengthen the entire industry. And women must be part and parcel of that effort. Yes, please. Yes. Give them a round of applause. Let me show you about this. We are talking about transformation here. So, we are saying therefore that mining companies particularly must have intentional programs to provide and create opportunities for women-owned businesses so that you can empower them, so that you can integrate them into the mining supply chain, so that you can open avenues for empowerment and for innovation. We know that many a time we tend to always fall back to the default positions. Do the things as usual. The president has said that it's going to be business as usual going forward. So opportunities must be created so that the women can bring their unique and diverse perspectives and solutions to some of the complex challenges that we face. The women have an uncanny ability to identify solutions, to care, and not only to care at the family level, society level, but also to care in terms of how do we handle our natural environment. And we need to create those opportunities for them to participate. So financial institutions in the broader industry must develop these targeted mechanisms for female entrepreneurs particularly to be able to effectively participate in the industry. The women, and I mean the WIAMAN, not the women as we have it, but the women, the association, have demonstrated an unwavering dedication to promote the interest of women in the sector and their vision, which enabled, made it possible for us to come together here today. I'm glad that the activities are going on. The director of ceremony here indicated that there was another function in the coast. So the momentum is on. And this is very good. The momentum is on, and this is very good. So the vision that has brought us here today, the hard work, the advocacy have been instrumental in advancing the quest of gender equality and promoting the participation of women in the mining industry. So that is why it is fitting that the patron of the association was given the platform to address the house here. And she gave an extensive account of what the association has done and why it is important and why it is that she has chosen to be associated with the association. We believe that Meshiroga, your continued support will embolden this organization, that it will serve to drive the purpose. So please, you have a passionate leader here, you have a passionate patron, give her a round of applause. I think what we need to again recognize is that the challenges that women face to their participation in the mining industry or other industries go beyond mere representation. But they are linked to some of the challenges that this association is seeking to address, namely limited access to training, limited access to mentorship, and the whole question of maintaining work-life balance. These are real issues, and if we do not take positive action to deal with them, they are going to persist. That is why the event of today and the work of this association are very important. They speak to the power of proactive leadership. They speak to women not waiting for change, but taking deliberate steps.
And with that, we take a short trip to the marketplace, but please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back, only on Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Ipurane ngeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite okoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihoetike kovano ile koshuana. Kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu kwanda doi nawa. Mune uto otukwetira o special angeza shake ngeshefa omarude kayo loka. Opone ushendike nawa nokumona oijabweli nawa. Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onora itatimwe bali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma.
Namibia is hosting the 22nd annual conference of the Association of Parliamentary Libraries in Eastern and Southern Africa, or PALESER, under the theme Parliamentary Libraries and Democracy in the Digital Age. The event brings together delegates from 15 member parliaments across the region to discuss how digital tools can improve parliamentary transparency, legislative efficiency, and citizen access to information. Established in 1994, APALESER has become a key platform for training, collaboration, and strengthening democratic institutions through informed knowledge sharing. As the democratic system faces rising pressure and technology reshapes how governments operate, parliamentary libraries are being positioned as crucial players in this transformation. Discussions at the conference are focused on how to integrate international or traditional knowledge systems with modern...
Taking flight has never been easier. Paratus is introducing SkyFi internet packages with speeds that will have you reaching for your seatbelt. Starting from $500, excluding VAT, per month, with speeds reaching up to 10 megabits per second. There's even a prepaid option where you can top up your SkyFi internet for just $15 per gigabyte. No contracts, no fuss. Visit your nearest Paratus branch to find out more. Or go to paratus.africa/Namibia to sign up online.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle.
Welcome back, and so sorry about that. And now, as democratic systems face rising pressure and technology reshapes how governments operate, parliamentary libraries are being positioned as crucial players in this transformation. Discussions at the conference are focused on how to integrate traditional knowledge systems with modern digital technologies. The goal is to ensure that parliaments remain accessible, responsive, and better equipped to serve their citizens in an increasingly data-driven world. Namibia's role as a host signals its growing commitment to innovation in governance and civic engagement. Organizers say the country is well-placed to lead the regional conversation on building resilient democratic systems, especially as it expands digital infrastructure and access to information services. The outcomes of the conference are expected to inform policy recommendations, and digital strategies for parliamentary institutions across the continent. Speaking at the event, Speaker of Parliament Sarah Korongera Amadila reaffirmed Namibia's commitment to ensure free and fair access to information and calls for a digitalization of parliamentary records and archives. Let's take a listen to the Speaker of the Namibia Parliament House.
Accessibility and informed governance. Furthermore, they act as repositories of institutional memory, housing everything from legal documents and historical records to expert research and policy briefs. This body of knowledge ensures that legislatures operate effectively. Namibia took a decisive and historic step with the enactment of the Access to Information Act in 2022, a landmark step that affirms the right of every Namibian to access to information. Transparency and accountability are promoted and upheld in the process. Digitalization plays a significant role towards the effective implementation of this law through online platforms. The envisaged appointment of an independent information commissioner will complement this effort. Namibia's parliamentary library is embracing digital transformation through several strategic initiatives aimed at modernizing information services and enhancing public access. The National Assembly Strategic Plan of 2023 to 2027 and the e-Parliament strategy support the digitization of parliamentary processes by improving access to online documents such as committees' reports and order papers. Furthermore, the library envisions establishing a central digital archive using the open source platform DSpace to provide easy access to key parliamentary records such as debates, committee reports, and ministerial statements for members of parliament, staff, and the public. Historical records will be digitized to uphold transparency, preserve institutional memory, and foster digital civic engagement. While digital libraries come with immense benefits that could be harnessed to enable informed decision-making and citizen engagement, many parliaments are still faced with numerous challenges. These include insufficient funding allocated to ICT infrastructure and equipment, copyright and licensing complexities, and the need for specialized expertise. This in turn affects our efforts to adapt to rapid technological changes. As we navigate the digital space, we ought to be aware of some of the negative effects, such as infringement of copyright laws, particularly when digitizing and distributing material. There is therefore a need to ensure that these challenges are addressed. Lack of digital literacy can also severely hinder access to and use of digital resources. As we transition, we need to capacitate the stakeholders who are the staff and members of parliament to ensure that the digitalization process is fully optimized. And Namibia welcomes that offer from Zimbabwe for sharing expertise and experiences in that regard. In addressing some of the challenges, it is imperative that we continue to learn from one another so as to improve the efficiency and competence in our parliaments by leveraging the opportunities provided by this conference. APLESA should not only be a forum for discussion, but it should be a catalyst for shared skills, knowledge, and experience. In conclusion, I commend APLESA and all represented member parliaments for your continued dedication to this work. Your presence here affirms that the intellectual and ethical infrastructure of African democracies is strong and growing stronger. Let us depart from this conference with actionable targets that will provide a roadmap for progress. Let us work together to ensure that every parliamentary library, regardless of size, location, or resources, is adequately capacitated to legislate wisely, inclusively, and in the best interests of our people. And I also hope that you'll find time after this conference to explore the beauty that Namibia has to offer. I just returned from Zimbabwe, and I was in awe at the beauty of the scenery there at the Victoria Falls. But we say that although we are a desert, we also have some beauty that we can offer. The governor talked about where this is the only place in the world where the desert meets the sea. So please find some time to admire the beauty of our sand dunes, which are the equivalent of the mountains in some parts of.
Advocate Tonis Namaseb also had something to say at the hosting of the 22nd annual conference of this Association of Parliamentary Libraries in Eastern and Southern Africa.
Parliamentary libraries and democracy in the digital age. But I think there is somehow an understatement when we say parliamentary libraries. For some of us thinking as lay people, we just think of a room with a lot of books. We may not appreciate what really goes into the concept of access to information. And that is the core of what we are doing. Parliament is a special place. Parliament is not part of government. Parliament is doing oversight, a very, very important role that Parliament is doing. And to access information is likewise a special issue. And those special issues coming together makes this conference so much relevant. In Namibia, the power vests in the people, and they must make informed decisions when they elect their representatives who will serve them, both in the National Assembly and the National Council, as part of the Namibian Parliament. And I am sure, whether it is a bicameral system or a single house system, this resonates with our parliaments in the Southern African region and the Eastern African region. We need to empower the people to access the relevant information. At the same time, we need to empower the elected representatives. When they make laws, they can simply not just come up and agree to a piece of paper, the statute which comes out. They need to understand, they need to live the realities. When our members are confronted to make a law, for example, on whether abortion must be given at will, balancing the individual interest of the mother, the conceived life, the interest of the community. These are issues that we cannot simply come and make and take easy decisions. We must have relevant, up-to-date information centers, the libraries, in a digital age. And we cannot fall behind in the age of artificial intelligence. When we talk of artificial intelligence, we need to position ourselves because it comes with a lot of opportunities, but also with serious challenges. Legitimacy of information, who has given this information, and we are entrusted with that. I would like to thank APLESA for agreeing to be hosted by Namibia. I would like to thank all the participants who have traveled from various countries in Southern Africa, in Eastern Africa, to converge and discuss this critical issue. Let us share notes. Let us share experiences. Let it not end in a boardroom discussion. We might have taken you out of Windhoek, where our information hub is, where our libraries are. But when we get opportunities like this, let's cross-fertilize and visit each other as a pleasure members to learn from one another. As I am concluding the closing part, let us make sure that our constitutions become living instruments when it comes to fostering democracy. And democracy cannot be fostered without access to reliable and credible information, which is readily accessible. And I thank you so much.
With that being said, we'll now take a short commercial break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitida oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa. Nune uto otukwetida o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarude tayo loka. Opone ujendi fenawa lokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe mbali heavy nola natu. Heari bari no heari ile ko berewa bara hetatu natu bari o hetatu watatu o mafelane egelese.
Welcome back. Stay connected with Eagle FM, news without borders. Eagle FM is everywhere, always on, always accessible. Whether you're commuting, working, or relaxing at home, simply plug in your earphones and stay informed with minimal inconvenience. Our platform delivers real-time news and analysis straight to your phone, keeping you in the know wherever you are. In partnership with our sister e-paper, we provide concise, expert summaries of Namibia's latest business, economic, and policy developments, delivered digitally every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's your essential brief to start the week informed and stay ahead. Looking to grow your business reach? Our complementary apps, including Imba and Eagle FM app, offer targeted opportunities for companies to increase visibility of their products and services across a wide spectrum of consumers, from urban professionals to rural communities. And let's not forget, our social media platforms are among some of the most active in the country, giving brands, startups, and individuals the perfect space to amplify their visibility and connect with engaged audiences in real time. Eagle FM, where your voice, your story, and your business are always on the radar. Now, in further news, Namibia's annual inflation rate eased marginally to 3.5% in May 2025, down from 3.6% in April, a move largely attributed to the notable decline in transport costs driven by falling fuel prices. While the slowdown brings modest relief, underlying price pressures continue to weigh on households across the country. According to the latest Consumer Price Index, figures released by the Namibia Statistics Agency, transport inflation recorded a significant increase, falling to -1.3%, thereby helping to anchor headline inflation. However, core inflation, which excludes volatile items such as fuel and food, climbed to 4.1%, highlighting persistent cost pressures in services, housing, rentals, and education. Month-on-month inflation held steady at 0.2%, as seasonal reductions in housing costs were counterbalanced by increases in food and alcohol prices. Food inflation remains particularly concerning, with meat prices rising by 8.8% and fruit prices surging by 15.5% compared to the same period last year. Furthermore, regional inflation disparities also persist. Zone 1, encompassing Namibia's north and northeastern regions, and Zone 3, which includes Karas, Irongo, Hardap, and Omaheke, continue to experience higher inflation rates. These differences are placing added strain on low-income households, many of whom are already grappling with high living costs. Despite the pressure, economists expect inflation to ease further in the months ahead, with projections suggesting that inflation will likely remain below the 4% mark for the rest of 2025, barring any major external shocks. While the easing figure offers a degree of optimism, the burden of living costs continues to affect many Namibians, particularly those in vulnerable communities. Policymakers and stakeholders are being urged to remain vigilant and responsive to emerging price dynamics, ensuring that economic stability translates into real relief for households. Earlier, I sat down with Joseph Jeremiah, my colleague, to interrogate this further. So let's take a listen. Namibia's annual inflation rate eased marginally to 3.5% in May 2025, down from a 3.6% in April, a move largely attributed to a notable decline in transport costs driven by falling fuel prices. Now, while this does show modest relief, it is quite clear that we have a long way to go. Now, I am joined by my colleague Joseph Jeremiah to interrogate this further and really understand what this means for the Namibian people. Joseph Jeremiah, welcome to On the Radar.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
All right. So our first question will definitely be, what was the main factor that caused Namibia's overall inflation rate to ease slightly in May 2025?
So before I answer that question, not everybody is aware of what inflation is. I first have to start from the basics, which is now me answering what inflation is.
Okay.
So in simple terms, inflation means that prices of things we buy, like food or clothes, go up over time. Because of this, the money you have buys less than before. For example, let's say last year you bought a t-shirt that was 100, and then this year the t-shirt becomes 105. Which means now the prices have gone up due to certain factors. These factors may include wars, pandemics, as we have seen before, which was now the year of COVID-19. We have seen that prices have been able to shoot up. This was basically just because there was something that was hindering this.
Fully understandable.
Yes. So now let's get back to answering that. So in short terms, it's just you buying less for more. Not buying, or buying less, but with more money now. That's what we mean, because these prices are now going up. Yes.
All right.
So to answer your question, There's been a slight decrease due to transport costs. And these costs are mainly due to fuel prices decreasing.
Right.
Because we know that it's transport, right? Transport is used on fuel. So as fuel increases, it means transport also increases. And we've seen this. It happened last year where fuel prices were increasing, which was now a fundamental aspect to inflation increasing last year. So we first have to understand that inflation is the increasing of prices.
Right.
Yes.
Right. All right. So despite the easing of the overall inflation, as you've mentioned, which components contributed to the rise in core inflation to 4.1% in May 2025?
These are mainly things that one can't live without, let's say. Things like meat, fruits. Well, we have to understand that you have to live a healthy life, right?
Right.
And you can't live without this. So, yeah, I would say meat and fruits. Those were one of the contributors.
I see. And finally, which regions in Namibia are experiencing an increase in the price for products, and which group of households is most affected by this?
We could say Comas and southern eastern regions. This is mainly due to prices increasing for necessary utilities, let's say, things that we can't do without. Let's say in Comas, oil prices, they were high. And definitely you can't cook something without using oil. And these prices were notable in lower income houses.
Okay, I see. So low income houses, that could mean anything from people below the poverty line. That could mean anything towards people like a single parent household, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or pensioners.
Okay.
Yeah. Those would be regarded as lower income.
All right. All right. Thank you so much for joining us on the radar.
Thank you too, sir.
All right. That was Joseph Jeremiah joining us for On the Radar for an in-depth talk on the recent reports on inflation's slight ease. Thank you. The news never stops, and neither do we here at Eagle FM. We're committed to keeping you informed and in the loop at all times. But for now, let's take a quick visit to the marketplace. Stay with us.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station. Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. You're listening to On the Radar News Bulletin right here on Eagle FM. Now we take you through trading economics, what's making headlines in today's economic indicators. Now for today, on the 16th of June, 2025, one US dollars equals to $17.92. One euro is 20 Namibian dollars and 70 cents. £1 sterling equals 24 Namibian dollars and 30 cents. One Japanese yen will get you 0.12 Namibian dollars. One Chinese yuan equals to $2.50. One Australian dollar equals to $11.69. As for the Swiss franc, one Swiss franc will get you $22.13. Now for other economic indicators, the top currency gainers are South Korea won at 0.40%, with the biggest losers being Japanese yen at minus 0.06%. British pound is coming in at minus 0.09%, with the dollar index at minus 0.08% and the euro at minus 0.01%. On cryptocurrencies, Tether was among the decliners, falling at minus 3.42% on the day. With agricultural commodities, today's commodity gainer is wheat at 3.13%, rapeseed coming in at second place at 2.59%, and then soybeans at third place at 2.52%. Now, the biggest losers on energy commodities is sugar at minus 1.05%, and then butter follows after at minus 0.51%. In regards to metal commodities, the top commodity losers are platinum at minus 5.75% and copper at minus 2.05%. Now, gains under the metal commodity are led by gold at 1.36%. In regards to energy commodities, crude oil WTI is the top commodity gainer at 7.55%, followed by Brent crude oil at 7.50% and heating oil at 7.29%. The biggest losers in this category today is methanol at minus 0.65%. Top currency losers are South Korean won, followed by New Zealand dollar at minus 0.85%, and then Australian dollar at minus 0.67%. Now, with that being said, let's pause here, take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back shortly with News Beyond the Borders. Stay with us. And if you want to partake in the news bulletin, our studio line is very much open. 083-288-401 is the number in studio.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back in our full News Beyond the Borders. And of course, before we actually head for the News Beyond the Borders, let's tell you what's making headlines in today's e-paper. That is the Villager e-paper. Now, Monday's edition of the Villager e-paper is out, so make sure that you do grab your copy to read up on the stories we've covered in it. Now, the front cover story is 135 million Namibian dollars in electrification subsidies for distribution intended to connect 200,000 households. And then we have Namibia's financial reform efforts overlooked as EU maintains high risk status. eSIM to replace physical SIM cards. Windhoek ranked among Africa's top 10 cities. Can we subsidize solar geysers? Well, grab today's e-paper to find out. And do you want to stay ahead of the curve? Subscribe to the Eagle Media House WhatsApp channel and receive a tri-weekly dose of economic, social, and community news absolutely free of charge. All you have to do is send a text message to 081-200-41 and you never have to miss an update. Now back to our News Beyond the Borders. Starting off in South Africa, as we always start off regionally, then we move over to continental news. Thereafter, we bring you international news. Now, right in South Africa, where President Cyril Ramaphosa is attending the G7 summit in Canada. Let's take a listen.
Of the president's visit to Canada, bringing SABC News international editor Sophie Mukwena, who joins us now via our telephone line. Great to have you on the program as always, Sophie. And you know, as I'm looking at our president and the prime minister of Canada speaking, I'm wondering what kind of conversations they've had when the cameras were off, considering that both those men have been at the Oval Office at very interesting times insofar as their relationship with the US is concerned. But as you respond to that, help us place the significance of this G7 meeting.
Well, the meeting is quite important because it comes at a time, as you pointed out, where the world is changing. And you would recall that it was the G20 meeting that took a decision to support developing countries and poorer countries to deal with issue of just energy transition. And the G7 member countries putting aside 100 or making a commitment of 100 billion US dollars to assist poorer nations and developing nations to achieve this transition, but it should be a just transition. And leading the charge was the United States of America under President Joe Biden. And now with President Trump, who has signed executive order pulling out of the Paris Agreement and drill, use of fossil fuel, it's going to be interesting to see how the G7 is going to navigate this, much as these issues are on the agenda. We know America is taking a different position on these matters. Secondly, it comes at a time where the global peace is threatened by the situation in Ukraine, including the recent developments in the Middle East, the Palestine question, and now the war between Israel and also Iran. So it comes at a very crucial time.
Absolutely. And usually, you know, presidents take this opportunity to address a number of issues. Do we know if there are any other bilateral meetings lined up by President Ramaphosa on the margins of this particular gathering?
Yes, there are meetings that are lined up where the president is going to meet his counterparts from different parts of the world. I think to note will be perhaps Germany, you know, with the new leader. But we are still waiting to see and to hear whether there's a possibility of President Ramaphosa speaking to President Donald Trump of the United States of America, who also arrived in Canada last night. We know that they had the meeting in that Oval Office, as you pointed out, a different approach to those meetings, but both leaders really under siege from the United States of America, the current leader. But it will be interesting to see what will be the body language this time around, if there's a short meeting or just a short discussion. As you know that with diplomacy, you don't have to sit down and have a formal meeting, but if you stand there in the queue for photo or just before the start of the meeting, you always have a wait where you see leaders talking to each other, perhaps looking at issues of interest between the two countries. And therefore, I think that moment will arise, even though it might not be a formal meeting. There will be a moment where the two leaders will greet each other, and perhaps they will whisper into each other's ears in terms of where to from here with the current tension, particularly in Iran, because, you know, South Africa has got strong relationship with Iran. You know, U.S. has got a strong relationship with Israel. And this perhaps a moment for those who are friends with these two countries to kind of talk about this and perhaps speak to these two countries to pull back, because this is really threatening the Middle East peace.
Yeah, absolutely.
South Africa scrambles to contain foot and mouth disease outbreak.
a recent outbreak of foot and mouth disease at South Africa's largest and most secure feedlot sent shockwaves through the red meat industry. Karen Beef has managed to contain the disease but is keeping a close eye on its herds.
It is reaching an end in terms of new clinical cases. At the moment, we're about 8%. We'll probably end at 10% of the cattle infected. We have approximately 120,000 head of cattle on our Heidelberg facility, and this is the only facility affected. We have two other feedlots and 10 quarantine facilities over the country.
Foot and mouth disease is passed on by buffalo and affects cloven hoof animals. It has for a long time been contained to designated zones. But since the country lost its foot and mouth disease free status in 2019, over 300 outbreaks have been reported.
These are completely different to the FMD strains that the Northern Hemisphere and Brazil and those countries are battling. Those are much more virulent, much more visible. Ours are under the radar. Most cattle will never show any symptoms whatsoever. Only a small percentage will alert you that something's happening.
South Africa is clamping down on the movement of animals, which is particularly to blame for the spread. It has also set aside around $3 million for vaccines.
We're waiting for vaccines to come in from the Botswana Vaccine Institute so that we can start vaccinating at feedlots like Karen. And obviously in the area in KwaZulu-Natal, getting on top of foot and mouth disease in South Africa is going to be fundamentally important to both internal price stability, but also our medium and longer term ability to export to other countries.
Although the South African strain is not deadly, exports to China and other countries have been temporarily halted. But the industry is looking at ways to prevent future outbreaks.
We will have to come up with new plans to fight this. One of the things that we currently did, we started yesterday, is to open an operational center where we can electronically track what's going on, map out the positive farms, try to better track the movement of animals, just to give her better data on the scenario.
Animal diseases have left South Africa's livestock industry bruised over the last few years. Bird flu nearly wiped out the country's poultry flock, and cattle farmers are still counting the costs of foot and mouth disease. While the meat still is safe to eat, it has caused supply shocks and could push food prices higher in the short term. Jilishara Sijtien, Cape Town.
Get to a USAVE, your low-budget grocery store, with good food costs less. 100 grams Nescafe ReCoffee instant coffee at only $34.99, or 10 Teglas 5 Roses tea bags for only $9.99. 1 liter full cream milk, nut milk, fresh milk at $18.99. 500 milliliter Reed Fontaine or Shikandela at $17.99, and 6 200 milliliter boxes of Rod's 40% fruit juice blends to enjoy at just $44.99. You save, we all save at USAVE.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is EagleFM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend.
The government of Zambia thanks China for support in the agricultural sector.
Government has a target of producing 10 million metric tons of maize, 1 million metric tons of soya, and 1 million metric tons of wheat by 2027. In achieving this, training of farmers in modern agricultural technologies plays an essential role for improved agricultural production and productivity in the country, Speaking when he hosted a high-level delegation from the China International Development Cooperation Agency, CRDCA, Ministry of Agriculture Permanent Secretary for Technical Services John Mlongoti says the support received from the Chinese government through the Agriculture Technology Demonstration Center, ATDC, has helped to equip farmers with modern farming technologies.
We have given ourselves a target that we upscale production by 2027. How do we achieve that? So it calls for a combination of intervention. One is research and development. Secondly, we also are alive to the fact that we need to continuously train our farmers on the good farming practices. And this is where the ATDC model comes in.
Meanwhile, CRDCA Supervision and Evaluation Department Deputy Director Chen Xin has thanked the Zambian government for implementing the project.
ATDC project is a very important project of Chinese government in the foreign countries, and there are many and beauty projects, and this kind of project has gained a great attention from Chinese government, and also we have gained a great support from Zambia government.
And the ministry's chief agricultural officer for crops, Joyce Nyangwe, highlighted the functions for the demonstration center.
ATDC has been very handy, particularly in the provision of training skills, both to farmers and including us workers within the civil service and elsewhere.
Shate Wakanyembo reporting, Lusaka.
Senegal hosts a third African Asia Conference Festival.
After Ghana and Tanzania, Senegal is now hosting the third edition of the Africa Asia Conference Festival, a unique platform bringing together over 600 participants from 60 countries. Organized by the International Institute for Asian Studies, it says the event aims to reconnect Africa and Asia in a world where Europe's influence on the continent is gradually declining.
The main goal of this event is to create a knowledge community gathering scholars, practitioners, activists, civil society leaderships, policymakers to reconnect Africa and Asia, to rethink its history, its present, and potential collaboration for the future.
With a shared history of colonialism and common challenges, such as economic inequality and migration, the two continents are hoping to chart a new path together, with Asia and Africa exchanging knowledge and experience on more equal terms.
Both continents face
similar. To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We all save at USAVE.
No matter where you are,
common,
if you have a mobile
history through many trade endeavors, but also migration, the idea is to create a forum for discussion.
Participants are engaging in roundtables, artistic exhibitions, and film screenings, reflecting on themes like economic globalization, pan-Africanism, and South-South cooperation in today's shifting global order. For Matthew, a Tanzanian scholar, the Dakar edition is simply a continuation of what was started at the first edition.
The second edition was in Tanzania, so this is a continuation of what we've started since the first edition in Ghana. And I'm here because I need to continue supporting, you know, the collaborative network that we have, you know, on Africa, Asia, especially on forms of knowledge. So I'm here to participate in various, you know, roundtables, but also various presentations and also strategic meetings between universities and also other stakeholders.
The event comes 70 years after a landmark event that brought together leaders from 29 Asian and African nations in Bandung, Indonesia. The conference aimed to promote world peace and cooperation and to assert the collective voice of newly independent nations in a world dominated by the Cold War superpowers. Indonesian scholars were among the attendees in Senegal, and some said they saw value in the West African country's rich archives, its educated youth, and its openness to the world as important assets for driving Afro-Asian collaboration forward.
You have a potential not only in Dakar, but also, I mean, not only limited to university, but also Dakar as a city itself. You have a very rich history and, yeah, and very open-minded people.
As the festival wraps up, participants hope to leave behind more than just memories, but build lasting networks of knowledge, exchange, and cooperation that bypass traditional Western structures. For the organizers, South-South cooperation must now evolve from rhetoric to reality. Sharon Baranga, CGTN.
Nigeria rejects EU's migrant return plan, champions an illegal migration model.
In 2017, Godwin Itiosa left Nigeria with dreams of a better life in Europe. He sold family land to fund the journey, but his hope quickly turned into horror. Abandoned by his smuggler near the Libyan border, Itiosa was arrested and later deported.
We worked for like 6 hours, where at one point we got into the hands of other groups of people who took us to the borders of Libya and were detained.
Godwin's story highlights the dangers of irregular migration. Over 43 million Africans are affected. The EU wants Nigeria to help with returning migrants, but Nigerian officials believe the bloc isn't looking at the bigger picture.
Whether we admit it or not, there is a demand for skilled workers in Europe because they have an aging population. We have a youthful population and a huge pool of talent. So that demand and supply exists, and it doesn't matter how many people you return or readmit. It is, we are better off working for the mutual benefit of both sides.
Nigeria is pushing a legal migration model, sending skilled workers abroad through official channels. Experts say it's a smarter way to manage movement and reduce risky travels.
The more flexible migration regimes or migration control or visa regime, the more flexible it is for migrants, most especially from Africa, the less you see people crossing over or migrating regularly.
The EU has similar deals with several countries, yet migrant deaths hit a 10-year high in 2023, with over 8,600 recorded by the IMO. Authorities say without legal routes, return pacts won't stop the flow. For returnees like Godwin, the future remains unclear. But Nigeria insists any deal must ensure safety, dignity, and opportunity. Kelechi Emekalam, CGTN Abuja, Nigeria.
Analysts discuss expectations and predictions at FIFA Club World Cup.
2025. Well, the opening whistle to the expanded club, the 2025 FIFA Club World Cup, is only hours away. And for more on that, we are joined by Onyenchi Ogu Obaro, a sports analyst and anchor, joining us live from Lagos. Onyenchi, if you're there, thank you so much for joining us here on Sports Scene. Thank you so much. Let's get straight into it. The FIFA Club World Cup is upon us. which African team do you think is going to go the furthest?
Thank you so much, Richard. For me, if I'm going to pick any African team that will go all the way in this competition, it will be Al Ahly of Egypt. For good reasons, yes. They've got pedigree, they've got experience, and likely have been 12-time African champions, and they're a big fish on the continent and even in Egypt. So you should put your money on this for the fact that Al Ahly have got the experience. Their fans love the global visibility. That's what they love. They've been to the Club World Cup a lot of times, even more than the other African teams will be making their way in this Club World Cup. So I'm hoping that they can create the history. They will not be going to the United States only to participate, but they will be there to compete. And that's what we are looking out for.
All right, Onyenchi, we're going to keep a close eye on your prediction. Now, we spoke of the African clubs. Now, overall, internationally, which team do you think is actually going to take the trophy? If you were a betting lady, who would you bet on?
Well, that's a hard nut to crack. But looking at the teams on the lineup, I would say for the fact that Paris Saint-Germain just lifted the UEFA Champions League trophy, so you should know that they are still in that competitive mood. They are still in that championship mood, and they will be coming up with something beautiful at the club, FIFA Club World Cup. Not forgetting, those will have a lot of things that precede them. Real Madrid, any day, any time, they will come to the party. So I'm hoping that Real Madrid will go all the way. I will not also overlook Manchester City. Manchester City may have not lifted the trophy from the Premier League this last season, but they'll be hoping to create a buzzer there at the FIFA Club World Cup for the fact that it is an expanded format and matches can be fine for them to go all the way. And they had a chance in this 10-day window for the transfer window, being able to boost their squad a little bit, so they'll go all the way. These are the teams I'm looking to go all the way.
All right, Onyenchi, you did a good job of dancing around the question, so I'm going to put you right back in that hot seat. I want you to choose one. Choose one. Which team do you think is going to win it all?
It would be very hard to choose because their teams over there were coming to make history. We've got a team from Brazil, Palmeiras. They're very, very wonderful. Botafogo, they're all there. So not forgetting my African teams like Mamelodi Sundowns, Esperance. So it will be very hard, Richard, to pick at this time what particular team will win all the way.
All right, Onyenchi, such a diplomat you are. Now, on a more serious note, there's so many competitions going on.
Experts say U.S. will continue to search for new security partner in West Africa.
Until its eventual closure in August last year, the $110 million U.S. Air Base 201 in the Nigerian desert town of Agadez was the central hub of U.S. counterterrorism operations, not just in Niger, but across the Sahel. But things changed dramatically following the military takeover in the country in July 2023. The new military regime ordered the airbase shot and American troops to withdraw as it switched military cooperation to Russia. Earlier, the regime had also terminated its military cooperation with its colonial ruler, France, and evicted its troops as well.
The point is that people just want to be free. They want all these foreign forces that have occupied African land for a long time to leave. But you also then ask yourself, even while they were here, how much good really did they do? If you look at the Boko Haram insurgency, you look at the jihadist activities in Chad, and in Niger and in Mali, how much did the presence of these foreign forces help the nations to curtail them?
Indeed, despite the presence of Western forces in the region, militant attacks in the Sahel continue, raising a wave of public discontent in countries like Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger. But those attacks have not abated, even after the withdrawal of Western troops.
I don't think it will make any difference. The bandits, jihadists, terrorists will continue to expand. And it is left for the African countries at this time to, you know, look inwards and then address those root causes that are causing this problem. Because that is basically what it should have even been. when AFRICOM was there. So without solving those problems, jihadists will still have a fertile recruitment ground, and they will also have free passages in the porous borders that exist in all the West African countries.
Since it shut down its bases in Niger, the U.S. Africa Command has not been able to secure a space for the reestablishment of a new base elsewhere in the West African sub-region. Public sentiment in the region is simply against the idea.
So they've actually outlived their welcome in this part of the world because they have not really benefited the countries of West Africa. They were not really a deterrent force to the jihadists. Their presence here was not really for your own protection or the protection or security of West Africa. It was for their own interest. They were here for their own military, national military interest.
But experts say it's unlikely the Americans are gone for good from the region. Already, there are talks between the U.S. government and Morocco over the possibility of moving the U.S. AFRICOM to the North African nation, and from there, still be able to keep a watchful eye on extremist activities in the Sahel.
They are still looking for conducive areas where they can plant their base.
Iran launches new missiles strike on Israel, killing four and injuring thousands.
Tensions between Iran and Israel spill over into a fourth day of open warfare with no signs of slowing down. Early Monday, Iran launched 100 missiles at Israel, setting off air raid sirens across the country and killing at least four people. Powerful blasts shook Tel Aviv before dawn, likely Israel's air defense systems intercepting missiles. But in the city of Petah Tikva, one missile hit a residential building, leaving a trail of destruction. Emergency services say two men and two women were killed, at least 87 others injured. Rescuers are still digging through rubble, searching for survivors. Iran says the attack is in retaliation for Israel's earlier strikes on its military and nuclear sites, which have killed more than 220 people since Friday. In response, Israel launched airstrikes on 10 Quds Force Command Centers in Tehran. That's the elite wing of Iran's Revolutionary Guard. With both sides escalating, the risk of wider war is growing.
Experts share insights on the potential impact of Israel-Iran conflict.
It's very unlikely that Israelis would really do such huge strikes without coordination or at least telling the Americans what they were up to. If we remember just a few hours before the start of the strikes, there were information coming from the U.S. bases in the Gulf, especially in Bahrain, for the troops to take care for their families, maybe to evict the bases if they want to, or at least to go to nearby countries. All these signs say that at least the U.S. knew that something was going to happen between Iran and Israel. If they didn't know in details, at least they knew it was happening. I don't think that there is any room to talk about a nuclear deal now or any kind of talking about peace talks or a nuclear deal talks. The Israelis already did a lot of harm to the project in the personnel, in the Natanz facility, in many other facilities. I don't think that it's valid to talk now about any kind of talks or deals with the U.S. or with any other party, not even through mediation. The size of damage and the extent of damage that happened in Iran will take months to heal, if not even longer.
And with that being said, we have now come to the conclusion after this episode of On the Radar News Bulletin. Do stay tuned for the Uncle Nana Dingy program and thereafter the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut from 16:30. To tune in again tomorrow, same time, same place. That is from 1300 hours up until 14:30 right here for On the Radar News Bulletin on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. From Indafa, happy Juju and
Sean Jordan Uisep.
It's goodbye. We'll see you again tomorrow.
No matter where you are,
If you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station. Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurane ngeno wapubwa eva tere urikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe odite okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota enjuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special